Ring, 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 ring. You ever had that experience where like you're trying to call somebody and you can't get a hold of, you get a hold of them, but you can't hear them, or they can't hear you. Something, you're like, hello, hello, are you there? I just picture in my mind God's calling us. Ring, 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 ring. Hello, this is God on the line. Are you there? Hello, are you there? And that experience where God is just trying to get a hold of your attention, and are you answering? The question, are you answering? We're in a series right now called Can You Hear Me Now? And the idea that God is still speaking through His Word, and we're looking at Old Testament scriptures, selected Old Testament passages, which speak to our modern issues, which speak to our modern problems. God is still speaking through His Word. And so that's what we're going through right now with this series. Can you hear me now? The idea of that Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? And God's trying to get a hold of us. He's trying to get our attention, grab our attention. Are we responding? Are we listening? Are we hearing Him? Last Sabbath, I spoke, beginning message, I spoke about happiness and about how happiness can be found in God's Word. This happiness, this joy comes from delighting in God's Word. We need to delight in His Word. And last Sabbath, I gave you 8 things to do with God's Word. One of them, I don't know if you remember all 8, but one of them, the last one, was do not forget His Word. Do not neglect His Word. Do not forget His Word. How important God's Word is. We need to fall in love with His Word. His Word is speaking to us. We need to take delight in it. We need to fall in love with it. It must become so important to us. So today, I want to talk to you. God is speaking to your heart. Are you listening? Are you listening? John chapter 8, verse 47, kind of a key text for a series of messages here. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. So anyone who belongs to God, if you belong to God, if you are a believer and belonging to the Lord, then you are listening to His Word, following His Word. You're taking delight in His Word. How important God's Word is in your life. Of course, the opposite. If you don't belong, then guess what? You're not listening to the Word of God. So pretty simple formula here. You belong, you listen. You do not belong, then you're probably not listening to the Word of God. God is still speaking to us today. Speaking through His Word, speaking by His Spirit into our hearts. And He uses that Word when we delight in His Word. He draws from that Word when we're studying, memorizing Scripture, learning the Word together. When we're in the Bible, reading the Bible, the Lord is able, by His Spirit, to use that well of Scriptures to speak to your heart and into your lives. God still does that to this day. Today, we're going to look at some scriptural examples of some people that heard from God and how they responded to God. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And as a matter of an overview of Genesis chapter 3, you remember the story, the Satan in the form of a snake, your Bibles might say serpent, Satan in the form of a snake began to manipulate Eve, began to deceive Eve. And what's he say to her? He says, so you're not supposed to eat from any of the trees in the garden, right? And he asked the question. And I hope how powerful questions are. You're not supposed to eat from any of the trees in the garden, right? And she goes, no, that's not what God told us. God told us we're allowed to eat from any of the trees except for one which is in the midst of the garden. That's the one we're not supposed to be eating from. And if we do eat from it, well, in that day, we would die. And Satan, of course, very sneaky, very deceiving. He goes, well, that's not true. You won't die. That's not true. Instead, your eyes will be open. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. It was a half-truth of sorts. Satan didn't totally lie there, but he didn't totally tell the truth either. He's manipulating her. He's deceiving in her to doing something that he knows is wrong. And so what happens, Eve begins to take a look at the fruit, in the look at the tree and look at the fruit, and it becomes pleasing to her. It becomes something attractive. She likes the looks of it, and it looks like it's good for food. It looks like it's something that would be absolutely appetizing. I see that. I want that. How enjoyable that would be. I mean, you know that same experience, right? You're driving down the road, and you're thinking about how old your car is, and you see that car, man, how enjoyable it would be to have that car, that sports car, or that really fancy car, this old truck, if I just had that truck, and how enjoyable that would be, and it looks like it's a good truck to drive, and I've never ridden it, but it looks like it would be absolutely awesome, and it would be so helpful. And she had that same experience where she's rationalizing in her mind, it looks good. How enjoyable. This would be awesome to have, and it would taste so good. And so what she do? She ate it. And then she gave it to Adam. And Adam, God doesn't even question. He just, wife gives me some food. Sure, I'll eat it. And he ate it. And then they knew. Their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked. And so they made themselves a fig leaf covering. They sewed some fig leaves together. They covered themselves up so that they wouldn't look totally naked. And then they hear the Lord coming. The Lord's speaking to them. Just like the Lord's trying to get our attention too. The Lord comes through and he's trying to communicate to them, and they hide from the Lord. They didn't want the Lord. They knew they messed up. They knew they were naked and they're hiding from the Lord. You see, Satan takes God's methods. This is God's method. Asking questions. Getting us to understand. Getting us to believe. God created this. Satan didn't create this. But Satan takes it and he manipulates it and he changes it and perverts it. And he does this with a lot of stuff. God gives in the Bible, he gives prophecy and prophets. And they speak what God tells them to speak. But what does Satan do? He gives divination, where we're trying to get the message from the spirits, and Satan takes God's truth and he manipulates it and he messes with it. We see it with marriage. God created marriage to be an absolutely beautiful and wonderful thing, and Satan comes along and he twists it and he changes it, and now we have homosexual marriages and we have marriages that are messed up and all sorts of mistakes in that. And the enemy just takes what God means for good and means as a beautiful thing, and he twists it and he perverts it. Satan didn't create all that. He just twisted and perverted it. So what's the method here that we see in Genesis chapter 3? What do we see here? Satan asks a question. He uses a question. It was a question that had deceit. That tree, or you're supposed to, you can't eat from any of the trees, can you? And it's a question. It gets her thinking. Questions stir our hearts. They stir our minds, and they get us thinking. So he asks this question with a purpose, and then what happens? God, with questions, then God gives us the truth. Well, Satan, he gives a negation, a sort of half-truth here. He says, well, you're not going to die. That's wrong. Instead, your eyes will be open and you'll know good and evil. He negates what she was told and gives her this partial truth. Because see, Satan knows if he can tear out the foundations, if he can tear out the pillars out of the building, that building will fall. It will crumble. Satan knows that. And so that's what he's doing. He's beginning to just manipulate her thinking, manipulate her reasoning, and tear out those pillars out of the building, hoping that building will crumble. And she begins to reason, as we often do. She begins to rationalize. She begins to justify. It looks good. It must taste good. And she doesn't have godly counsel around her saying, wait a minute, what did the Lord tell you? She begins to justify and reason and rationalize. And we do this today. We do this today. We could ask the question, is evolution true? And of course, we would say, no, evolution's not true. But then they come back and they would say, well, what about natural selection? Natural selection's a form of evolution, and you believe in natural selection, that something changes and adapts. Isn't that true? And it gets you thinking, right? It gets you reasoning and rational. It goes, well, if that's true and that's evolution, then your whole building begins to crumble. Because the pillars are starting to take out. Instead of realizing that God created it, created natural selection, created the adaptation process of animals within its own kind. They don't change kinds. You don't have animals changing animals. But rather, God created it within its own kind. And if we would just have that good, godly counsel that would correct us and bring us back into alignment with God's word, oh, how good that would be. Questions are so powerful. Questions get us, they stimulate our minds, they stimulate our hearts, they get us thinking about what's true, about what's not true. They get us thinking about what we believe or what we don't believe. Questions are so powerful. And God uses the same method in the following scripture. And today I want to talk to you about three responses to God, three responses that we should be having to our Lord. Number one, listen. Listen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 9 says, "The Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?'" He calls out to them, "Where are you at?" God calls. First thing I want to point out, God is calling. God calls out to them. God is speaking to them as he speaks to us today. And he asks the question, "Where are you?" Imagine if you had a kid and you didn't know where that kid was. And you're trying to call the kid. You're trying so hard to get a hold of them on the phone, and they won't answer the phone. And you heard about a car accident, and you got to go check out this car accident, and you don't know what happened. You're trying to get a hold of your kid, and you're driving out to where you think your kid is. And how upset would you be at your kid because you couldn't get a hold of them? And how worried you were as a parent because you could not. And God is trying to get a hold of our attention today. Are we responding to him? Are we listening to him? Often my problem is not the listening, but the paying attention part. The being able to focus. You might be talking to me and my mind just starts to drift and wander somewhere else, and I'm thinking about what I should be doing tomorrow, and you're trying to talk to me about today and my mind is somewhere else. And that becomes my problem, being able to refocus and say, okay, I'm listening to you. And how often God is trying to get our attention. And you might listen, you might read the Bible, you might listen, but are you paying attention to the scripture, to what God has to say? Here in Genesis chapter 3, God speaks. And God speaks, I kind of read it, I hear it as an audible voice. God is speaking, "Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you?" But how does God speak today? How does God speak to us? Well, by his Spirit. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, we read, "I speak the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit." I speak the truth, I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. When we speak of the conscience, when we speak of the heart, we use terms like, God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to my heart. Well, that heart, what we're talking about, is our conscience confirming, our conscience hearing the voice of the Lord and knowing. And what does conscience mean? And the actual definition of it is it's actually with knowing. Con is with. With knowing. And so we know something. When God speaks to our hearts, we know that he's trying to communicate to us. That's the Lord speaking to me. I know God wants me to go that direction. I know that God wants me to stay here. We heard some testimony of that today in our prayer time. I just know that this is what the door that the Lord wants me to go through. He's speaking to our conscience by his Spirit. It's the Lord speaking. And what does God use? He uses his word. He speaks to us through his word. That is why, like I spoke last week, we need to delight in his word. We need to study his word, be in his word, because from that well, from that source, God uses that to bring it to remembrance, to remind you, my word says this. Oh yeah, the scripture says this. God is speaking to our hearts through his word. Think of it like an iPod. Do we still have iPods? I have a little iPod shuffle. How many of you have iPods here? Anybody? We have a couple. Think of it like an iPod, and you go to listen to the music, and you've got nothing on there. Nothing to draw from. There's nothing in your playlist. What do? You need to download the music, get it on your iPod. You need to get those MP3s onto the iPod shuffle or iPod, whatever, iPod Touch, if they still use those. If you have no music, you can't enjoy the music. The same way, God uses that word. He's speaking to us through his word, and he uses that word to speak into your heart, that you know that the Lord is speaking to you. And he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" Friends, when he spoke to Adam and he said, "Where are you?" When he spoke, he knew where they were. He knew right where they were. He knew exactly what they had done and what they were doing. The question here was for their sake, where are you? That they would begin to think about it. Psalm chapter 139, verse 7 says this, I can never escape from your spirit. I can't get away from him. I can't get away from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. I go here, Lord, and you're there. I go here, Lord, and you're over on that side. I go over this direction. Lord, you're right there with me. I can't get away from you. Lord knew right where they were at, just like he knows right where we are at today in our lives. You go to the movies. You can't hide from the Lord when you go to the movies. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're watching. He knows what you're inputting into your heart and into your mind. You're driving down the road and you cut somebody off. I hope the Lord didn't see that. Guess what? He saw you do it. The Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly where you are when you're driving and what you're doing. When your parents are away from the house, the Lord knows what you're doing, what trouble you're getting into with your friends. He sees right where you're at. When you are on a trip, a work trip or a school trip, the Lord knows right where you're at. He knows exactly what you're doing with your friends or with your coworkers or by yourself in your hotel room. The Lord sees you right where you're at. He knows what you're up to. And he asks the question, where are you? Where are you? Where are you at? Are you serving me? Are you loving me? Are you doing what my word says? Are you listening to my word? But this can be a good thing too. It doesn't have to be all bad. It can be a good thing when we're praying for the sick, when we're praying for those that are hurting. I'm not doing it alone. The Lord is with me. He's helping me. He's touching that individual as we pray for them. When I don't know what to do and I don't know what decision to make, well, the Lord is with me. He's guiding and he's directing each step I make. God is by my side. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to do it alone. He is with me. When you're hurting, when you're suffering, the Lord is with you. He's your comforter. He's helping you through that. The Lord is right there with you. It's in these moments that God speaks to your hearts and he asks, where are you? Where are you at? Number one, listen. Number two, evaluate. Evaluate. Verse 10, he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. I heard your voice in the garden, Lord. I heard you calling out to me, and instantly I evaluate. You're talking to me, Lord. You're talking to me. I hear you talking to me, and instantly I evaluate what you're saying and what I'm doing. There's this instant registry in my heart and in my mind. The Lord's talking. Am I following the will of the Lord? And I guess what? I wasn't. I was naked, and I was afraid. I was afraid what you would do to me, Lord. Evaluation is so important. It's a key. When God speaks, or when we read his word, and God speaks to us through his word, evaluating where we're at in relation to the word, it's absolutely so important. When God is speaking to our heart, if we're in the midst of something, and God says, do this, it's so important we register and say, Lord, am I doing what you're asking me to do? Am I where you're wanting me to be? Evaluation is so important. And we do it every day. We probably don't even realize we do it every day. When you're putting on clothes on a Sabbath morning, you're evaluating your clothes. You're going, should I throw those clothes away? Should I wear this? Is this good enough? Every single day, we're evaluating our clothes. Are these good clothes? Are they holy clothes? Do I need to get rid of them? And we're going through that process of evaluation. When you're a teacher and you're thinking about your curriculum, you're thinking, is this a good curriculum? Is this registering with the students? Is this working? Is this something that's helping them? Or is this not connecting with them? And you begin evaluating that curriculum. You do this with cooking recipes. You make the meals and you bring it to church. Was that a good recipe? Did people enjoy it? Did it have too much sugar? Did it have too much salt? And you're evaluating your own cooking. And we do this in our own lives. Evaluation is so important as Christians. Am I loving Jesus enough? Am I loving like Jesus wants me to love others? Am I living according to his word? And you begin to evaluate, am I doing what I am supposed to be doing? Before life change can come, we need to begin to be honest with ourselves. You won't ever have a change in your life, in your heart, in your walk with the Lord, unless you become honest and say, am I where I'm supposed to be, or am I supposed to be doing more, or am I doing enough? One of my issues that I need to be honest with is when I get on the scale and I weigh myself and I look 210 pounds. No way. No way. I was blown away when I saw that. And so suddenly I start becoming honest with myself. I need to lose weight. That's a source of honesty right there. And of course, I've been exercising a lot lately. I've been doing a lot of boxing and boxing my kids and throwing the ball with them and running around and jumping, just jumping for the sake of jumping, getting my heart working, doing jump roping. And I'm honest with myself. I need to lose weight. I'm trying to lose weight. Weighed myself. I'm down to 206. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. We'll keep it up. I've tried to go on diets before. The diets don't always work, so we're trying exercise this time. We're going all out on exercise. But there's that honesty with ourselves. Imagine if you had a friend and you thought your friend was with the wrong person. This person is no good for you. This is not the person you should be going out with. He is no good for you. This is going to end up badly if you continue this relationship. Now, what if your friend refused to hear it? What if your friend refused to be honest with themselves, transparent with themselves, and say, you know, it doesn't matter, I like this guy. They refuse to hear the wisdom, the counsel that's coming from you. It starts with being honest with ourselves, evaluating ourselves honestly. Our evaluation as believers comes through God's Word. When we read His Word and it registers with our heart and we begin to evaluate, am I lining up with this? Am I living according to how God wants me to live, doing what God wants me to be doing? Am I following God's Word? Or if God speaks to your heart, am I listening? Am I obeying what God is speaking to my heart to do? God asks you to go share with somebody, give to somebody. Did I do that or did I disobey? Did I refuse to trust God in that issue? God speaks. And when God speaks in positive change. He speaks in terms, God is love. And when He speaks to us, it's a positive change. Wants us to live according to His Word, change something that's positive in our lives. Whereas when the devil speaks, and I'm very careful with this, because there are people that just walk around with too much guilt. They've done all that they know to do according to God's Word, and they still feel guilty. And when the devil speaks, Satan plants seeds in our hearts that say, you're not measuring up. And it's not for positive change, it's simply just to condemn you. You're not measuring up. You're not living right. You're not enough for the Lord. You're not enough to get into eternal life. You're not enough for Him. Your prayers aren't good enough. He's not going to hear your prayers. And the devil just likes to plant those seeds in your heart. He just likes to drop them in there and hopefully you'll listen to them. But when God speaks, it's for positive change. It's for growth in our lives. It's for encouragement so that we can be more of who He wants us to be. He speaks through His Word. He speaks to our heart. He speaks positive change, and we need to evaluate. Number one, listen. Number two, evaluate. Number three. And before we get into this third one, we understand that God is just. And what did He do to Adam and Eve? God speaks to Adam. He says, where are you? And Adam says, I was naked and afraid and I hid. Well, God still punished Adam and Eve. God is a just God. God gives due punishment. We see that how He punished the snake. He took the serpent who said, okay, you're going to crawl on your belly now. And He punished the snake. He punished Adam. How did He punish Adam? He said, okay, you're going to work hard. You're going to toil, and it's going to be really, really hard. It's not going to be easy for you. There's going to be weeds. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be all kinds of problems while you're toiling and working. He punished Eve. How did He punish Eve? He said that it's going to be painful during childbirth now. Don't know what it was like before. It's going to be painful now during childbirth. It's going to be a struggle. And now, I don't know how this is a punishment, but now you're going to love your husband and he's going to rule over you. And of course, there was the lifespan punishment. Now you're going to die. No longer are you going to live for eons and eons, but now you're going to have a limited lifespan. And of course, there's the eternal punishment that was given. Now, you no longer have life. Now, you need to receive for eternal life. And of course, that's the plan. God made a plan right then and there for salvation. Seen in our third point, number three, respond. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. We believe this is the very first messianic prophecy. A messianic prophecy is where God spoke about our future, but regarding Jesus. He spoke about Jesus and Jesus coming into the world. And he's saying, I will put enmity between you and the devil. You're going to be at odds with each other. Satan is going to be like a roaring lion seeking to take you out. And you're going to hate him for it. And he will bruise your head. He being Jesus, will conquer the devil. The devil will try and take Jesus out on the cross, and Jesus will conquer the devil. And he will rise from the dead. And so we see this as a prophecy regarding Jesus. It didn't mean much to them back then, but it means so much to us today. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you want to put the slide on the screen, it's actually got two verses there, one on top of the other. There you go. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. God gave that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And of course, Romans 6:23, another one we quote a lot, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when God convicts our hearts, there is love behind it. There is rescue behind it. There is redemption behind it. When God convicts our hearts, there is love and positive change behind it. God might be speaking to you and he's saying, you need to pray more. God might be speaking to you to pray more and said, you know, your prayer life is just, it's just not enough, but you need to pray more. You need to seek me more for your own life, for your family. God might be speaking to your heart. He might be saying, you need to love more. You need to love others more. You need to love your family more. God might be speaking to your heart, and he's saying, you need to serve more. You need to be out in the community helping others, helping them to know that Jesus loves them. He might be speaking to you. God might be saying, you need to honor your parents more. Like my word says, honor your parents. You haven't been very good at honoring your parents lately, and that's something I need you to be doing. God might be speaking to your heart, and he's saying, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you see, when God speaks, there's love behind it. There's hope behind it. There's truth behind it. Jesus is the gift here. God gives. He gave. He gave his one and only Son. In Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we see with Adam and Eve. Because of their mistake, because of their sin, it was death. But the gift of God, God gave. The gift of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Imagine this. Imagine somebody gives you a birthday present. How do you react? You say, thank you, right? But what if God gave you a birthday present? Your reaction was, no, I don't want it. Take it back. God gives. Imagine if you did that. Imagine if you gave a birthday present to someone and they go, no, I don't want it. Take it back. I don't need it. I don't want it. That would offend you. Right? And God gives. What do we say? No, I don't want it. Take it back, Lord. I don't need it. And God gives, and God gives. We need to respond to the Lord. Our first response should be to repent of our sin, to repent of missing it, to repent of not lining up with God's word. Our first response, to repent of refusing his gift. The Lord is giving and giving and giving. And we refuse it. We need to repent of refusing it. We need to repent when we're not putting Scripture into practice. Lord, I'm sorry. What does repent mean, guys? Repent means to stop it, to turn around and do what you weren't doing before, to do what the Lord tells you to do. If you're going this direction, if you're driving in the car going this direction, and you see the detour, and the detour makes you turn back around, it's the same thing. You're going this way in life, and God says, no, stop it, turn around. And we do that. We see the Word of God, and we say, wait a minute, I'm not doing what God's Word says. I need to be following God's Word. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and in your life and you're doing it your own way and God's saying, wait a minute, I want you following me. That's the idea of repentance, to cut that out of your life and to do it differently. Our first response to repent. Repent of not responding to the script, to the Spirit's prompting in our lives when God is telling us to follow His Word, when God is telling us to do something and we haven't been doing it. We've been disobeying God, we've been refusing God, and God is saying, I want you to follow me, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. We need to repent and do what God is telling us to do. Our second response, to receive. To receive is to believe it and to act upon it, to accept what He's giving. To believe it and to accept it, we need to receive His forgiveness. We need to receive His blessings from the Word, the blessing of His presence in our lives. We need to stop refusing the Lord and to start receiving Him. Start receiving what He has for us. It is a gift God gave and Jesus gave. Our responsibility is to respond. To respond. Ring, 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 ring. This is God on the line. Are you there? Paul, are you there? Will you pick up? Will you answer the phone? Are we listening? Are we responding? Number one, listen. Number two, evaluate. Evaluate. Be real honest with yourself. Am I following God's Word? Number three, respond. Believe it, receive it, repent if you need to repent. God speaks through His Word. He speaks to our hearts by His Word and by His Spirit. His Spirit, He uses that Word in our life to bring to remembrance things that God wants us to know, and that comes from delighting in His Word, loving His Word, being in His Word. That gives something for God to use in our lives. Instead of having that iPod that has no music in it, God knows right where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows you're here today. He knows where you'll be tomorrow. God knows right where you're at, but He's asking you, where are you? Where are you at? Are you loving me? Are you serving me? Are you worshiping me? And God calls and He's asking. When God asks the question, it stirs our heart. Questions stir our heart to think and to believe and to respond to the Lord, and stirs our heart. Am I loving like Jesus wants me to be loving others? Am I doing what God's Word? Am I serving like God wants me to be serving? Am I worshiping how God wants me to be worshiping? Am I studying the Word how God wants me to be studying the Word? And it causes us to stir our hearts and to stir our thinking and to respond to Him, to repent, to receive His forgiveness, and to live according to His Word and His will. God speaks. And I believe His greatest message can be found in this, Matthew chapter 11. This, we'll close with this. Worship team, you can be ready to come up. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Then Jesus said, come to me. You hear it? God is calling. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're doing tomorrow. But He's calling, come to me, all of you who are weary and can carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Worship team.